Yeah. Coming at you, everybody. Yeah. I like this part. Everybody! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. Nick Tulo in the house, honorary comedian. Welcome to Cal, baby. We got tons and tons of spicy, muy, muy, muy caliente wrestling reactions coming at you like Cleopatra, baby. Gubba, gubba, wee. Had to play the old Moxley song because if I play Wild Thing, this will get flagged immediately. But a lot of the wrestling songs go under the radar. So we pretend here that Moxley's still coming out of the crowd to this song that's called Unscripted Violence. Which is...
I mean, it's a banger.
Wait, this song's called Unscripted Violence, which is the opposite of what he does. His occupation is a scripted violence man. That's what a professional wrestler is. Mm-hmm. So it's an ironic name for a song. Tulo, what up? At Tiptoe with Tulo. Give Tulo a follow. Give me a follow.
Correct. At Last Improv Show. At Comedy Poll Show.
Yeah. Lots of ads.
Donnie sellouts, man. Donnie sellouts over here, man. This guy just, you put him in a building, he sells it out. It's, I mean, what are we on? Like, fucking, like, you're like Billy Joel, bro. You're Billy Joel, bro. You trying to go for that Billy Joel?
Like to do improv shows with a small audience at a big venue with those empty seats. I'm selling out shows with a packed house and a made up skit. I'm doing improv. It's sold out hit. I don't know. Listen, we got to work on this, folks. Wow, that's my improv. No, Tulo's referring to in LA. I do a show called The Last Improv Show. Follow at Last Improv Show. And all the shows have been selling out. They've been a fucking blast. I told everybody here on this podcast that once this fucking pandemic was over, I'm coming out swinging, baby. I'm coming out hot, and I'm ready to perform. I ain't sitting in my house for any disease ever again. I'll tell you what, if they come out with a new virus where they're like, yo, you get this one, you're actually a goner, I'm still performing, okay? I'll turn to a zombie on stage, okay?
That's I'll some say improv. This,
for the real cowheads out there, I do miss just like when we couldn't do anything but play Among Us.
Yeah.
That'll be one of the craziest times in our life. None of us could go to work. Nothing was open. You couldn't even go to the fucking movies. You know,
like we all say gaslighting, but no one knew what gaslighting meant. Or at least I didn't.
All cow listeners would get together, just play Among Us.
I remember once Suzables made me swear on Bianca Belair too. that I wasn't lying. And because I swore on Bianca Belair, we won. It was Phil. It's always Phil,
folks. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Support this podcast. Get access to a bonus episode that we'll be throwing up. Two and I will coordinate this week, see if we can get one out this week. I'm back at studio, ready to rock here. So much to talk about. Many are saying too much to talk about in the world of pro wrestling.
It's true.
Tulo, I mean, I'm ready to just jump right into wrestling. I know sometimes it's easy to go on a Game of Thrones detour, House of Dragon detour. It's easy
spicy.
To go on a, I just finished Better Call Saul.
You want to start? You want to just start with
Better Call Saul?
Or do you
detour,
want, maybe we do a Game of Thrones bonus set? With a little
House
like.
House of Dragon. We'll be the House of the American Dragon. We're going to do a Daniel Bryan. We can only talk about Daniel Bryan or Game of Thrones.
Which, honestly, we could probably
do. The House of the American Dragon, which we definitely could do. I have a lot to say about Daniel Bryan.
What crazy. About Ricky the Dragon? Can we talk about Ricky the Dragon? Steamboat?
Yeah, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And then Who else? Any other dragons?
Dragon Lee?
Yeah, Dragon Lee is allowed to be discussed. I don't have that much to say about him. He's very good, but I rarely see him wrestle.
Saraya sounds like someone we can discuss on House of the Dragon.
I think we should jump right in there. So let's just jump right into AEW Grand Slam because I just watched it, and I got a lot to say. Notoriously, I was at the last Grand Slam. Fun fact for the new listeners.
Right.
My experience at the last Grand Slam was at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Now, if people don't know this about Arthur Ashe Stadium is run by the city of Manhattan, New York City. So it's like anything run by a government. It's got, like, no parking. It's fucking mayhem over there. you know, it's like a national park, I believe, technically, you know? And
is it really? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
World's
Fair. So it actually kind of sucks, Arthur Ashe. But smartly, AEW's made that like their home New York venue. I mean, they do shows at UBS. Smartly, UBS and Arthur Ashe. They don't touch Barclay or MSG, which are notorious WWE venues, you know?
Love it.
I still haven't been to UBS, but I hear good things.
Great arena. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So, Grand Slam, last one I was at, notoriously was there, rocking the cow title. Rocking American Dragon. It was Brian. It was Daniel Bryan's first match.
His
first match back, and he wrestled Kenny Omega. Right, that was one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. Amazing.
I like, tweeted about that today. I was like, will they ever top that? Like, I mean, it was just like one of the coolest moments I've seen in AEW.
Well,
ever.
The reason I'm bringing it up is not just a recap because that match. What. I'll just jump right to it. I was going to set the stage of it. What I was going to say is when I bumped into my friend who's like, yo, Dan Black? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm rocking all wrestling gear in my late 30s. And he's like, do you like this shit? And he's like, I'm just here to support my girlfriend's brother. And he's my friend who still dates MJF's sister. You know, so he was there with MJF and their family. And he's just like,
you can't tell Dan is sick, by the way.
Sorry. Sick, a little sick.
Who just got engaged?
I got re-engaged. No, you're talking MJF. I'm never getting married again. Everybody knows that. MJF got engaged, which came to the promo. So anyway, that was just a funny thing because I was like excited to be there. Then it's dangerous. If you're that close to home, I could be caught in full marquetry.
Yo, Dan Black.
Whoa, yeah, hey.
What's up, man?
But not that I'm ever actually embarrassed to be. You know, I didn't really care. I don't give a shit. I love wrestling. I stick to the fact that it's one of the highest forms of art. To the point that actually I was disappointed in Jericho. Now I'm jumping all around. Jericho made a post that was he made a post that was like it was him beat up after his match, you know? And he's like, yeah, like these guys don't get hit or something. And I'm like, are we still defending wrestling like that? Like, Jericho, come on, bro. Like, sorry, guys. You have to bear with me here. Yo, what I'm saying is, like, we have to reframe the defense of pro wrestling. Anyone who's – I've talked about this before, but, like, anyone who's coming at pro wrestling from the standpoint of – that the violence isn't real is just an idiot. Like, who cares about that? Like, it's like, it's never pretending to be that. It's very clearly, if you watch it for literally 4 seconds, very clearly choreographed, scripted, story-based television show, just like every other show, right?
Mm-hmm.
The argument should be more that the storytelling that goes on in pro wrestling because it toes the line of being real is what elevates it and makes it way better. It sucks that, like, you still have Jericho having the, like, 80s argument about wrestling where it's like, you don't need – and, like, matter of fact, it is kind of fake if you want to be honest. Like, it hurts, but it's not it's not as, let's say, dangerous, even though you can argue wrestling is more dangerous because some of the bumps you take. But let's say it's not as dangerous as UFC fighting. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's more of a show. It's more of like, right? So when Jericho has that argument, I feel like it hurts wrestling because it makes wrestling seem like it's trying to compete with real fighting, you know, like boxing. And that shit is stupid. Anyway, disappointed in Jericho in that. Here's that match was incredible. Daniel Bryan, Kenny Omega a year ago. Because, and I'm curious to get your take on this, Hulo. Kenny Omega versus Daniel Bryan is a match you like never thought you would see, right?
Right.
That this is the issue. Kenny Omega is so important because Kenny Omega is an indie lifer, essentially, in wrestling. Like, he's like the best non-WWE guy, you know? So when the main event starts and it's Moxley versus Daniel Bryan, you know, when you're doing this pod as long as we are, you start taking a step back and you go like, I'm getting a little worked here that this is a match that I've never seen before, or this is a match that is, and then you look at all the other matches, right? Like Claudio versus Jericho and stuff. You're like, this is starting to be just WWE, right? It's a big problem, you know?
Yes.
So where are you at on this, too?
Thank you. You are like you said a very like, I was trying to like formulate it a lot today. I was like, what is it like? And then I just realized it's like, I feel like I've seen this all. Like, yeah, Acclaimed winning, cool moment. But like, even the women's stuff was like stuff. And I was like, I just feel like I've seen this all. I've seen Moxley win. It's not as exciting right now. I've seen Jericho Claudio because it's happened in WWE, and you know, and that even seemed forced. It kind of came out of nowhere. So like, Tony's like, you said it like a couple weeks ago. It's like, Tony's not this shiny new object. He's not this like new thing that's up and coming. It's actually reversed now. It's like all of a sudden, like WWE is that. It's wrestlers are coming back. People are getting signed. And a reset button is being hit. And now you're starting to see all the things that you wanted to see out of WWE. And now with AEW, I'm just like, okay, like half of these matches don't have any stories in them. You know, well, they're just.
I don't care about.
And it's kind of predictable. And it's kind of, he's kind of showing his hand too. He's kind of like you could call his bluff. It's like, kind of knew Jericho was going to win when they started talking about how he's never won the ROH title, right?
Well, and they started calling it the Ocho, right, before.
Yeah.
And then once the Ocho happened, shirt it like, popped it up immediately, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think, Tulo, I'm actually going to bring up some of your points from, like, last week right now, which is that at the end of the day, what AEW is starting to feel like is that Tony Khan is seeing that the money and the ratings are in the WWE guys, you know? Like the stars that were already made over there, you know? And he's leaning heavy, heavy, heavy into that, including the Paige debut, you know? And so if AEW is going to become WWE debut 2.0. Central, right?
WWE 2.0.
They got a big problem on their hands. Like, there's no excuse for AEW to not have some character that touches... That is something like Bray Wyatt. Now, I don't mean that he has to be exactly like that. What I mean is that a character that original, like an Abyss or something from like TNA and stuff, like where the other competing companies were able to have a wrestler who you're like, oh shit, that guy's stealing focus. Now, you have MJF, right? Which is the big defense. And then you have Kenny, but he's suspended in the Bucks. But when the Kenny and the when the Bucks, they're gone, you know. I'm just saying, it's a little bit. The show is a little bit of the guys who left WWE. It's starting to feel a little bit like that, which makes the show feel a little bit like lesser. So they need to correct that. And I'm not saying something they can't correct or anything, but boy oh boy, I don't think anybody saw Moxley win and go and feel like super satisfied by that, right?
Yeah. I'm also like, I'm leaning hard into this theory too, is that like AEW is a much better show to go see live. Like, it's an indie show times 1,000. You're getting like an indie an indie show feel, but with like the best wrestlers, you know? So like when you're in an AEW crowd, I mean that Arthur Ashe Stadium crowd was like fucking bonkers, man. I mean, like, and it's always like that. And you can, when you go back and watch Kenny and Bryan Danielson,
Yeah.
like you, that's a moment that I will remember forever. It's burned into my brain. I was like, when everybody just stood up in the whole entire stadium because they were seeing this moment happen. But like
It was
my
crazy. We were
biggest
there. They kicked
critique,
off the show. When I was in the
it's
house, we're like,
very,
they we were
yeah,
like, "Holy shit! They're gonna
this is
start
kicking
with
off the show.
this?" You know?
Right?
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's very rinse and repeat right now. Like that's what AEW is feeling like. And it's, I'm enjoying it, but like I'm not into it, you know? Like I'm not like wondering what's gonna happen next. Like even the Saraya was like cool, but like Tony Khan has done nothing up to this point to prove that her coming here is gonna matter, you know? Like that's just the facts. I'm not speaking like over the top about it. It's the facts. He does not build the women's division, and you can see, and that was perfectly displayed on Wednesday when another fatal four way
Yeah.
with like kind of like a weird kind of finish and feel to it. Like, I don't know. I'm just.
Well, it's very clear to me that Tony Khan is headed down. Tony Khan's a big mark, obviously, but he's also a big mark for actual professional wrestling, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool actually, and it makes him different than like Vince, let's say, right? I don't want to say it makes him different than Hunter, because I think Triple H and Shawn have kind of got to a place where, you know, I mean, Shawn Michaels is the best in-ring wrestler maybe ever, you know? So, by the way, I keep pausing because I'm about to sneeze constantly. But yeah, like, so what I'm saying is that at the same time, it feels like he is can put on a great professional wrestling show, you know? But ultimately, he's missing what makes wrestling incredible, which is the build up, you know, to the show. You know, The Rock used to take the criticism that like he was all lead up and that his matches stunk. You know, some people would say that about it. It was like, you know, they were like he couldn't deliver on the pay-per-view. He was like a Raw SmackDown guy. He was great on selling you the match and then his matches were whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I had a couple friends who would always say that, you know. And they would stick to it pretty hard. But yeah, I think like I feel like when I'm watching AEW, it just feels a little bit like a mess right now. Where I'm like, all right, this Blackpool Combat Club. Like I'm a little bit like, what is it exactly? Like what is it exactly? You know what I'm saying? Where like I'm just not follow. I'm not feeling vested in the matches. They're not even in. They're not. In, they don't have the segments in the ring. You know. Well, speaking to the crowd, there's not enough of it. There's not enough of showing of management of like, hey, here's how this place is running. And for me, it's just not as much my style. But that being said, the crowd was hot, the matches were great. But if I had to give a critique of Grand Slam and I was watching it, it felt like a show I was watching where it was match, 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 match. You know, and it's a TV show, so I personally have seen a bajillion matches, so I want to be engaged a little more. MJF luckily comes out and breathes a little bit of life into the show, you know? And he was fucking great. I mean,
Great.
he was, oh my God. I feel bad for any wrestler when they gotta cut. Like, Wheeler has to,
Yuta
like, oh my God. He's gotta cut a promo against
called him
MJF. Yeah.
Wheelsy. Like he never
Yeah.
had a shot. He never had a
No.
shot. But yeah,
Oh, no.
man, like, but I don't want to
We
like
said
feel like I'm being.
there's not a guy in here who wouldn't let me sleep with their wives, you know? And he's like, but I wouldn't do it because I have standards, you know? It's just like it's great. He's like old school. MJF's killing it. He's great, but he feels like he's on a different show, you know?
And he's kind of playing that, and I think he's obvious. I think he's doing that on purpose. Like he's trying to, he's literally differentiating himself from the rest of the company. You know, no one else is doing what he's doing. It's not even close,
Yeah.
honestly.
But anyway, that all being said, these matches were there were a lot of great matches. The Acclaim match was a blast, you know.
Blast.
That was a blast. And Daniel Bryan Moxley like was awesome. This guy's just Moxie's just unable to have a match. Where,
no blood.
Like, yeah, no blood, but a lot of like purple skin, a lot of bruising.
Dude, so I texted you. Oh, man. I love professional wrestling so much, man. Like, honestly,
yeah, great.
I felt like when Mox did that stomp and into the Death Rider, he was just like saying, "What's up to Seth?" Like, you know, like doing the stomp and then right into your Death Rider, like into your finisher, is that the coolest way to say, like, "What's up" to one of your boys? You know, like,
I loved it.
Being
that
like,
was awesome.
Incredible, man. Good stuff. Moxley's the best, you know, like, and I love Mox. Like, it's dope that we're back in this era where Reigns is running WWE and Mox is running AEW. Mox was supposed to been on vacation, and he can't even go on his vacation because he's got to carry this fucking company on his back. So it's kind of crazy. Did you hear that it's looking like Punk's going to be bought out of his contract?
I didn't see that.
I'm in the sheets,
you
bro.
Deep in the sheets? Let's see.
I saw some stuff. I'm hearing that they're going to buy him out.
I'm sure that to let him go, it cost, you know? It's going to cost them. I mean, this is what Meltzer's saying here, right? I don't know. So they finally have a good story ahead of them, and they're just going to let it go because people are in the back are wimps. CM Punk belongs in the AEW locker room. He's a blast. I love CM Punk. I wait, what is this? Oh. I'm watching a clip of
the reenactment of.
No, I'm watching a clip of Tony Khan talk about it. But yeah, no, I mean, listen, CM Punk, look, I'm always going to come from the Mark standpoint, okay? I'm not like Donnie Fightful or whatever the fuck. I'm not being like, yo, man, the locker room needs to be healthy. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff because I'm an end user, okay? Now, if I work for one of these companies, I might be like, yo, every time CM Punk comes here, like, I'm worried about the people's safety. And then that's different. But me, I'm a guy who's just going, yo, I'm like, yo, CM Punk breathes real life into this show, you know? And so they have a great story going on here. They should all be fucking adults here. Figure it out. You got suspended? Now go sit down and be like, hey, look, this is wrestling. If they can't sit down and get this worked out, then that comes down to Tony Khan. He should be able to get these guys in a room and be like, yo, this story we have here is money. Everybody has to gain here. We have nuclear heat right now. Young Bucks, you could benefit from the rub of CM Punk, you know? And Punk, you could benefit from all this shit, right? I mean, Punk gets to be the top guy in AEW, right? I mean, if anything, just from speaking this out, what is Punk doesn't need this? He doesn't need the money, right? So
I would assume he would in some kind of way. I mean,
well, it sounds like they're going to buy out his contract. I mean, not that he doesn't need the money. I'm sure he needs the money because he's not like a bajillionaire. You know what I mean? But
buyout's a pretty sweet deal. Yeah. If you ask me.
CM Punk should come back. And he's got what? Let him come back from his injury and then work it out. I don't know. That's what I want. It'll make you watch AEW. It'll make you invested in AEW. You want to see Kenny come back and you want to see if Kenny comes back and the Bucks come back and they like go up against Death Triangle for the Trios titles, you know, are you going to dig that? And they just ignore all the shit?
I mean, I really hope when Kenny comes back, he has nothing to do with the Trios titles. Like,
right.
And I actually hope the Bucks go back to the tag team titles. Like, they don't need to do the Trios.
You don't want to see a Kenny CM Punk feud when they come back?
Of course. I would love that. I would love it.
Exactly. So let's be wrestling fans and let's be honest. Now let's move on and talk about Paige for a sec. So Paige, it seems like, it seems like she's cleared to wrestle, right? We had heard she was cleared to wrestle for a while, right? But WWE wasn't clearing her, similar to Daniel Bryan's situation.
I don't know the deal with Paige, and I probably should have looked into it a little bit more, but I don't know the deal with Paige.
Yeah, it says, after being told in 2018 that she would never wrestle again, it looks like Saraya will be an active competitor in AEW. That was reinforced on commentary where Taz said she can go. Saraya can flat out go. I mean, that line does not confirm it per se, but it sounds like the commentators are making your expectations known that she can wrestle. Yeah.
Right.
But she had said that she was cleared to wrestle. I had heard that. Her and Corey Graves both cleared to wrestle.
So, John Rodriguez asks, what kind of impact do you think Paige Saraya will make in AEW? Will she have a Daniel Bryan-like revival of her career of her in-ring career, or do you think WWE is right to keep her on the shelf with her injuries? It's a very intricate question.
You know, I.
I TBD, right? I mean, we don't know. I mean, I guess we got to see why she's here in her Effie jacket. You know, like
Page.
I don't have the faith in, like I said, I don't have the faith in Tony Khan to make this relevant. Like, he doesn't believe in the women get drawing ratings. He doesn't give them any kind of day. Like, when was the last time we had a meaningful woman's storyline? Like, they had Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker standing right there, and then they put them back together. So I don't know what the fuck he's
Well,
doing.
what I'm
He's
saying is.
got talent, and now you have Paige. Like, do something with this, please.
All right. Well, a couple things. If you remember when Sting debuted, right?
It's Sting.
Sting, the lights went out. He had really cool music. It was snowing. Every time Sting would come out, it was snowing, if you remember.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Saraya came out and her music kind of like didn't hit very nice. And she has kind of a generic song now, you know. It wasn't that
No
great of a
fireworks.
of a debut, just from a production standpoint,
Yeah, because
considering how big of a deal Paige is, you know. She's
it pisses me off so much, Dan. I
she
think that's
could
my
she
number
could be
one
the
thing with
top.
AEW.
She's probably the God, I would say this. She's probably the top AEW women's wrestler, and she hasn't even wrestled a match for me.
Yeah.
Like, because she's a huge name and she's like a big talent. I mean, she has a movie, a pretty great movie named after her, you know, like or made
Yeah.
after her story. Played by Florence Pugh, who's like a Pug? I think it's Pug. Who's a big
Rick
star.
Boogs?
It's like a big star, you know? That's like not a no-name actress, you know? People forget that about her, you know? And so I think if they can't get Paige over, it's hard to know because she hasn't been doing this in so long, you know. It's not, Paige was pretty great, but it's not like she ever really, for me, hit like an amazing stride in WWE. She was definitely deserving of her push and stuff. She was one of their better talents, but she never hit like where Becky was or where Charlotte is. You know, I mean, I would
I
say,
think
I don't
she
even know
had
if she ever
the
really hit where like Bayley is, to be honest.
I would
You
even
know?
say she just didn't. She was on path to do that,
Yeah.
and I think it just got derailed, you know?
Yeah, and that's always my gripe with the WWE, how they treat women, the women's titles, because it's like you can main event a WrestleMania, not main event, but you can win the WWE Women's Championship at a Mania and not even be like close to like a fully cooked talent, you know?
Well, I think that's definitely changed now, though.
Right. And that's definitely getting better. That's why I've never ever had a problem with them keeping the title on Charlotte, you know, Ronda, Becky, Bianca's. There's a couple of
Man.
talents that are like just way better than the other women. And it's like it should that only elevates everybody for that, you know, for to treat those wrestlers as longtime champions. Look at like Roman. He's a champion for 2 years. It makes him so much better, you know,
The
and he's the
WWE
best guy.
women's division, the WWE women's division is thriving so much right now. And you mentioned Becky and Charlotte. They're not even there. Sasha, Naomi, like four of their top wrestling women's superstars aren't even there yet. I mean, we are, when they come back, I mean, thank God Raw's 3 hours, you know, like they're gonna need to start finding some time. And what was I gonna say? Shit. Oh, and also, fucking this Bray Wyatt stuff or the tease, this White Rabbit thing. Did you see this? I mean, it's like
Did you
insane.
see I texted you?
Yeah.
So in the back of the Rollins Matt Riddle Extreme Rules poster, there's like fireflies and lanterns in the background.
Yeah.
Which is a nice catch by people. That's great. I mean, look, both shows are great, right? Both shows, the fact that we get AEW and WWE, I just have to reiterate, we're not like competing. We're not like, I'm not being like, oh, this
I am
one's
definitely
shit,
not. Yeah, I'm definitely not saying that about AEW. I love them. I love Jon Moxley. I love so much about it. Give me Keith Lee versus fucking Wardlow, please.
But Raw and WWE in general is truly in a money zone right now.
Money
and the momentum
NXT too.
With Triple H in charge, the momentum seems to be like nonstop. It's keep it going, right? This train is
non-stop.
Not slowing down. With they literally found out the announcement of War Games matches in Survivor Series breathes. I mean, it just shows you how much more Triple H is on the pulse of the what's mm-hmm. good because. Because Survivor Series has been a nothing pay-per-view for years now. Like, years. It's literally been a pay-per-view where they, like card out Goldberg, right? I think even last year they had, like, a Goldberg match on Survivor Series, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they've been like, oh, we got to bring out an old star. They've had no stakes. They had the years where it was like NXT was involved, you know, when it was the black and gold. And then they kind of like let that
NXT
go.
NXT won 1 year.
Right. They let that go, you know. So to now have Survivor Series, it's War Games. What a perfect way to combine those two, you know.
Yeah, I think we're only going to get two War Games matches. It's going to be a men's match and a women's match.
Right.
And
you'll
then,
still have a Survivor Series match?
I think we're going to get a lot of cool, different matches. Like, I think we're going to see some 3v3s. Like, we're set up for Imperium versus Sheamus, Butch, and fucking, what's his name? Ridge Holland. You
Ridge
know,
Holland,
like,
yeah.
That would be a dope Survivor Series match. How about Judgment Day with Dominic Mysterio versus, like, Edge and AJ and Rey Mysterio, and then Dom and Rey are the last ones. You know, like, you could do 3v3 matches. And then you could do some bigger. It's maybe 4v4, you know. But like, I think it's gonna be dope to see who they end up, who the Bloodline ends up going against. Like, because it has to be Bloodline, right? And I'm thinking we're gonna get like, dude. You know what I thought of today? It's like, how far off is Cody from coming back? Like, can you imagine if like they built a team with like Street Profits, Ricochet, you know, who, whatever. Yeah, it's a fucking Kevin Owens. I don't care. And you get Cody to return to face the fucking Bloodline, man, it would be insane.
Well,
just
I
like
think
Cody
isn't
Cody's
come out
not
in the
here.
Rumble. It just is a waste to even do it before that, you know.
It's
but
fine.
I think I'm just like when I'm watching WWE. We can go all over the place. I just want to say something positive about AEW because we were going down the critical path, but there was a lot of positives there. By the way, the matches were great. We'll get to that. But I do think Triple H, Chris Jericho with the ROH title is very cool.
I think that's there's a purpose to that, you know.
Well, for the Daniel Garcia stuff.
No, I think they're just trying to get more exposure to ROH to hopefully get like some kind of TV deal or something, you know. Like True TV or something that they can put it on.
Yeah, but also just like having ROH talent try to take the title off of Jericho and getting to work with Jericho. You know, like if you get to see like I don't know about – did Jonathan Gresham not ask for his release? I don't know what was going on with him.
I believe so, yeah.
But he's an example of a dude. It's like him versus Jericho. Like that's fucking cool. And to kick that off with, you know, Cesaro versus Jericho – it's awesome. So I do dig that, you know. Paige, I don't know where they're going to go with Paige. What story you got to tell with Paige? I don't know. We'll just wait to see on that. All right, so WWE. When I'm watching WWE, I think the thing that's so – I mean, we say it all the time, but I think the thing that's so cool is like Riddle is really – like him, Austin Theory. They have a couple of dudes who are now just big stars on the show, but
Dominic
also,
Mysterio, yeah.
yeah, Dominic Mysterio is a big star on the show this week. There's no question about that. He's definitely like propped up. He's definitely propped up on stilts, you know, by he's like surrounded by like three of the
Whoa.
best talents, you know. Oh, and Rhea Ripley's accent was making me die, but she's just like, keep booing. Like, you know, she's like, boo all you
Oh, I mean, nuclear
want.
heat. New the dude Dominic got, he couldn't even speak. And then when he was that you couldn't hear him, they were booing the fucking shit out of him. I
Yeah.
mean, Judgment Day, listen. Cool. I mean, they're fucking awesome. I cannot wait till Rhea Ripley starts to go in the ring too. It's gonna be sick.
Yeah. Well, I definitely dig it, but I'm saying like the there's a couple of these talents which are like Riddle, Austin Theory, and what's really cool about these guys is that like this is when you watch the show just from a production standpoint, because I watched Grand Slam and then I went right into Raw, you know, and you're like all the colors, right? Like the, I know it sounds so small, but you're like the colors of all of this was I was like, wow, the like everything looks so fucking great from a production standpoint, you know? And you're
Like
like,
AEW's
man,
like
you Riddle and
whitewashed.
Austin Theory, you just watch them, you're like, everything here, these guys are popping off the screen right now. They're jacked, they're handsome, you know, they got clear characters, you know? And you're just like, this is fucking great, you know? It's great. It's
So
great
good,
to
man.
see. And it's great to see that juxtaposed with a guy like Kevin Owens being put back into black, losing, you know, losing color, and being known as kind of like the guy who's gonna fucking just throw you off the stage again, you know?
Dude,
Great. Very fun.
that segment with him and Johnny Gargano backstage had me fucking dying, dude. Dying. I'm so pumped Johnny's in on this era of
Yeah.
WWE because he's gonna shine. So much he's going to be silver, and you know Kevin's going to turn on Johnny at some point. If Johnny gets in the way of his chances, you know Kevin's going to fucking take him out. It's, I think here's another match I want. I want Johnny, Kevin Owens, and Braun versus Alpha Academy and Austin Theory. Give me that.
I'll watch
And
that.
Braun is wrestling Otis on SmackDown. Like, what are the odds that the ring's going to break on Friday? If that's the main event, I'm telling you right now, heard it here first, that ring is fucking breaking on Friday for sure.
Wait, what's the match Friday?
Collapsing. Braun versus Otis.
Oh, yeah. That's a great match. It's also a
I
good
mean,
spot. Nice booking on Braun Strowman coming back. Just having him just be like a spectacle talent, you know?
he's doing the fucking Wardlow power bombs too.
Did you just bail on that control your narrative shit? He was just like, all right, bye guys.
Yeah, and like
Those guys give it.
EC3 had to be like, yeah, Braun Strowman still had unfinished business in WWE.
I mean, like, yeah, like,
I mean,
I mean,
technically still controlling his narrative, you know?
yeah, because their whole thing was just like, yo, like, we're not gonna, no one controls us. And then it was like, for except for the right amount of money.
Yeah, as long as they give me $1 million, it's fine.
Yeah. Jumping back, because I want to Philip Hollingsworth question here is it a good idea to have Mox champ over Danielson? What's the logic here of having a three-time champ in such a stop-start fashion? I think they had to put the title back on Mox because just to reset it back to what it was before they gave it to Punk. Because I think if they just throw it on Danielson, I think they want to have Danielson have a more proper run, right? Because I think they're going to gear up for an MJF title run, you know?
Yeah,
So I
I think
think
it
when
almost has
Danielson
to
wins,
happen at
I
this
think they
point.
want Danielson to be properly positioned to be a champion, like not just an accidental champion. Because Mox was
When's
already a
that?
champ, so it's kind of just a reset for Mox. That's how I see it.
Yeah, you just that could be a long time from now, though.
Yeah, I mean it's always dangerous when you're talking about Daniel Bryan, you
I'm
know.
saying.
Yeah, but I do think they're going into a. And I think part of MJF's thing is like he's. I think MJF takes his title at the next thing, you know.
I think he's
So,
got it. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
he has the chip, so he's
What?
allowed to
How
have a
does the
match
chip
whenever.
work? It's not like a Money in the Bank briefcase,
It's
right?
not, but it kind of is. Like, he can determine when he wants the match.
Right.
So
So
like
he.
he can pick any, but he can't like cash in it. But like he can be like, I want a match tonight on Dynamite.
Okay, but you can't just like as the match ends,
No.
you can't just cash in or you can't join
At
a
least
match.
that's the vibe I'm getting. I saw Tony say something about it too, so that's what I think. That's what I'm thinking it is.
The chip is so much worse than the briefcase. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and they
It's like
also,
they almost just copy the briefcase, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, I like that. Listen, I like that they just have a money in the. I think eventually people would just be letting go. Like, because MJF is holding that chip, and I'm just like, this chip, every time I would just keep looking at a chip, being like, that chip looks so dumb. Am I wrong?
nope.
Yeah. It's like he's like all serious in his suit, and he's holding a huge poker chip, like a toy poker chip. It just was silly, you know?
Silly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess they're back to a corner there. Is there another option better than a chip? Like, I mean, a chip might be the second best choice over a contract. It
Over a
could be the
briefcase.
manila folder.
Let me tell you something.
It's the
WWE
manila
needs to change.
folder.
Change that green briefcase, man. That thing looks fucking janky.
The green money in the bank briefcase?
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
lame.
I don't like it.
They should just make it black. It would look so sick if it was black. With the gold, it would look awesome. There's no business being green.
Yeah, I agree. The green one is definitely whack. Maybe somebody should spray paint it. Anyway,
So Bray, is he coming back?
Bray's definitely coming back. I mean, there's no question about that. He's definitely not going to
Man,
he's not going
I
to
mean, there
AEW.
was this 923 tease. We got QR codes in the crowd. It takes you to a website. It's apparently paying homage to like a interview he did back in the day where like he's like, "Who ruined the world? You did." Like, but also like the first letters picked said "Demon." I mean, I deep dived into this thing, let me tell you. And then I saw something the other day that they said maybe the Funhouse is coming to life and like. I almost called him Crisscross. Karrion Kross is the rabbit. Scarlet is, forgot her name, something the witch.
Oh yeah.
Braun's the ham. What was the other one?
There's the rabbit. There was the pig. There was like the Cena pig.
Yeah, that was Braun.
Oh,
So they think that he might be bringing them back to
I
life.
think
I think
those
he's.
guys don't like each other, right?
Yeah, maybe probably not. Oh, well, they were in Control Your Narrative together.
Bray?
No. Oh, you're saying Bray.
Same
Braun
Bray and
and
Braun.
Karen. No, Bray and Braun are, I think.
Oh, was Karrion Kross in Control Your Narrative?
For like 3 minutes, I think.
Karrion Kross is an interesting talent. I like him a lot more when he doesn't shave his head. When he has hair, he looks a lot better.
Think so.
I don't know why you shave your head when you have hair like that. He's got great hair. You don't like it?
I don't know. I think he looks cool with the shaved head. Looks more menacing.
All right, fine. You're allowed to believe
Dude,
that.
can
You're
you
kidding me.
imagine a Bray Wyatt era in WWE right now? Like, I mean, that's the precisely the guy to take the title off Roman, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Crazy.
I'm jumping all over the place. Wow. Wait. I'm jumping all over the place. But I'm seeing that AEW's numbers go down for the biggest show of the year. They're saying that Dynamite had lost, didn't have Grand Slam went
Over a
down.
million viewers.
They're saying
Yeah,
the week before was better.
He's bragging about million dollar gate and a million viewers, first time ever in AEW history.
Cool. All right.
Or at least
Anyway.
Dynamite history.
All right. Fine, whatever you say. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, oh my throat, guys. I'm like sick. It is so annoying, Tulo. It's
Yeah,
so
man.
annoying.
Being sick is like
Yeah,
so mid.
it's
It's
so annoying. By the way,
mid.
I forgot about my shirt. I'm wearing the Republic of Lucha. I did commentary on Saturday
Yes.
for Republic of Lucha
You
show
and Kevin Gill.
Dolores. Yeah, it was to celebrate Mexico's Independence Day, the show Dolores. I learned about that. They were teaching me about Mexico independence. It was
Love that
great.
for you.
Got to call another Lucha Bros match. Lucha Bros versus The Factory. So Aaron Solo and QT Marshall. Tag match. Let me tell you, I got to tell you about QT Marshall. In person, this dude's pretty big, you know? He's in pretty good shape, you know? And he was getting some great heel heat from from this crowd. They really hated him, you know? He was fucking it, but boy, oh boy, if you can watch the fucking Lucha Bros, I'm sitting basically front row at a Lucha Bros match. If you can watch like Rey Fénix and Pentagon wrestle, you know, in person, you have to see this dude. It's like the thing is that with the shit, I don't know. I don't want to say this about all Lucha wrestling, but the way those guys wrestle on TV doesn't even do it justice, because there's something about the noise element, like the live element of there. Like Rey Fénix was chaining like combo kicks, like in springs off off the ropes and stuff. But they also incorporate all these like crazy slaps. So like the noises, you're like, wait, what was the impact on that? You know, it's nuts.
Yeah,
So when you
I've
see
seen
something
them
that's
live in person a bunch. It's amazing.
But even I've seen them wrestle, and I've been like kind of far away. If you got to see these guys wrestle fucking close up, you know, it's crazy. The other guy I watched wrestle close up, which is crazy, is Pac. Ironically, there's just a couple of these dudes who, when you watch what they do close up, you're like, oh my God, they're not even human. Cesaro's another one who's like fucking great. Cesaro, you know, some wrestlers benefit from watching on TV, like The Miz. Some wrestlers benefit from
Like the Miz.
like The Miz. I remember I watched Miz at like a house event one time, like a live event, and I was like, all right, like, you know, that's not that impressive, you know. He's wrestling as safe as possible, you know. I mean, he's fucking great, The Miz. I love The Miz, you know, but but it's nuts. Anyway, I don't know, fucking crazy times. I do think Paige, now that just Paige is popping in my head, I keep just thinking about where are they gonna go with Paige, you know?
Imagine if they kept their name as Paige, then they have Adam Hangman Page. They'd have
Other Paige?
Ethan
Ethan
Page.
Page. Oh my God, they should do the Paige. It's called the same Paige. And it's
Christian Cage,
Christian Cage.
Brian Cage.
I think what they do with Paige is she's got to be a huge baby face, right?
Beat Jade, I guess. I don't know.
The Russell Jade. I think she's gonna have to.
I mean, the best thing for her to do is immediately get into a feud with Britt Baker. It would be must-watch TV.
Yeah, she has to come out and
That's the
just be like,
smartest thing.
yo, they wouldn't let me be. She's gonna have to pull a little bit of what Punk did, where it's like, they wouldn't let me be me over there. Like, I couldn't do my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, her and Britt Baker would be electric factory.
I don't even know how that works though. So how is like a wrestler not allowed to wrestle in WWE at all? You know? They're not even, but then AEW, they're allowed to
It's
wrestle. Like, I
I
don't even
the
understand.
We don't know what was going on in WWE up there. It might have just been not having her wrestle. She was on like, what was that show? Like
Yeah, but
Fox.
they didn't let her wrestle for like 5 years. So what I'm saying is that, like, but she's cleared. Like, what's the benefit of that? Why would they
Maybe
not want
she.
her to wrestle?
I don't know.
Well, I know,
I
but
don't know. I don't know how it works.
she's clearly a star. Like, they didn't even let her wrestle through when her movie came out. You know what I mean? So it's odd when a wrestler is like cleared. Like, say they have a Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan was it was cleared by his own doctors for years, and then he has to get WB. So it's like, is WB have their own doctors who are like, you know, they're like, oh, what we, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, I guess like Vince at the time is saying like, if this is the only doctor, and this doctor's super conservative, about it.
I guess
it, it also seems just odd that Vince or someone like a Vince, you know, would be like so precious about his talent. I don't know. They don't seem like they don't give it, you know, they don't seem like they're so like these are risk takers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you hear stories about Vince, like back in the Attitude Era, you would hear like anytime Foley would do something, he would come to the back and Vince would be like, you're never allowed to do that again. You know?
Yeah.
It's like he would get in trouble.
Thank God he's gone.
And he was about to end the match with, it was Kurt Angle and Shane, and he was about to end the match, like when he didn't go through the glass and then Shane landed on his neck, and then Shane was like, no, no, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, you know? So you do hear about Vince like had more of care for his talent than, you know, I guess more than Tony Khan, right, if he's willing to let Paige wrestle.
Yeah, he had more care for his talent when it was his son.
I mean, I don't know, bro. The risks he would let his family take, you know what I mean?
Wild, wild, Shane. You're going to see a lot of things.
So Seth Rollins.
Some of them.
What were you saying? Oh, yeah. Shit. You know, by the way, I have the board up. Shit. Oh, it's plugged in, so it won't work here.
You'll remember a night she'll never forget.
Welcome, everyone, to Raw Underground, where there are very little rules, lots of excitement, carnage, chaos, and quite frankly, lots of things that I personally would like to see. And one thing I want to see, which I think you all will as well, is our next contest.
Oh, my God. Shane sucked so bad towards the end. I mean, Jesus. Ooh, is it Bobby Lashley promo?
This t-shirt is fit for a champion. Get yours now.
Crazy how Bobby Lashley, I always thought was such a jabroni. I'm a huge mark for Bobby Lashley now. You know?
Yeah.
He really won me over. His shirt says he's timeless, and I'm like, fair. I mean, this guy looks incredible still. You know?
Great, great U.S. champion.
Yeah, he's a great U.S. champion. Seth Riddle in the fight pit. Is that what we're getting?
Ooh, baby, 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 baby. Let's go. Or Extreme Rules already has more match, extreme, like, specialty matches in it than last year.
Is that confirmed in the for Extreme Rules of Fight Pit?
Yes, confirmed.
I don't know if that was going to be on a Raw.
It's going to be so sick.
Matt Riddle versus Fight Pit match. Have they established? It's weird because Rollins. I don't know if they brand Rollins properly. Like, Riddle. I mean, like where. We know he does a fight pit, but do you think the audience knows that he does a fight pit? Like the Raw audience?
No.
I think they need to make it clear that he was MMA fighter.
Rollins even said when he was yelling at him, I'll beat you in your own like home, you know, like kind of thing, you know, or in your own backyard, like saying that he was a UFC fighter. And he mentioned it recently in a promo too. Oh, I think so, he said in an interview or something about, he was like doing a kayfabe interview and said something about Riddle not being able to last in UFC because it wasn't Dana didn't fire him. He like couldn't get his shit together, you know. But I'm here for that. I'm 100% here for that. And we're even getting Liv versus Ronda in a Extreme Rules match, which I think is going to be awesome too. Ronda's if Ronda gets a hold of a Kendall stick, fucking watch out.
It feels like they have some kind of plans for Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss because they like won't let Alexa Bliss like drop the like what's it Lola or whatever like she
man what? Alexa Bliss is so talented, dude. She wrestles such a good fucking match.
Well, against Bayley.
Yeah.
That's good. She's looking very fit right now.
Oh, so, yeah. That's I was noticing. She's like in prime shape, like wrestling shape, like it's good to have her back, 100%. Man, the women's roster stacked.
Alexa Bliss is so talented. That she's a little like I always, you know, you're bringing it up. I always get like a little peeved when I see like great like women talent like they just come out in like a block of like three random wrestlers. You know, like she just walked out. Well, who's she with? Like Bianca and you're like, all right, whatever. Asuka. But and you're like,
yeah, but she stood out this week.
That's yeah, and they had a good match with Bayley. And Bayley like actually is doing pretty good. Like I'm digging Bayley right now too.
Yeah.
I'm digging Bailey. She seems like a real shitbag heel, you know? She's mad annoying. I don't get the outfit she's wrestling in. It's like kind of odd because when you see it at first, you're like, her gear, it's like, is she dressed a wrestler or is she just impromptu has a match? You know what I'm saying? A
lot of pockets.
Yeah, a lot of pockets. She's like, looks like she's a member of like the Hardys, right? A little bit like, it's like Lita-esque. Yeah. I'm not exactly loving it, you know? But I don't know. Should be fucking good. What matches do you think we're getting in the War Games? What do you think it's going to be, Imperium?
Versus, I don't know. I'm hoping Imperium versus those guys. Oh, did we talk about the – I don't think we did. So a couple things that happened. I don't think we talked about – did we talk about Logan Paul and Roman Reigns last week?
We talked about it last week, yeah, a little bit.
We did? Okay. But then Solo relinquishes the North American title.
NA title, right?
Yeah. So, and Shawn Michaels seems to be running things now in NXT. I mean,
why did he give up the North American title? I'm like, I felt like Solo would have been good to keep going in NXT.
I think so. My theory, Austin theory on this is that I think Triple H wanted to get some exposure down to NXT. So he had him win that like North American title. Cause then on Thursday, it was in the press conference. You saw it there. Friday, they had a match. Got some love on SmackDown. Now it goes back down. They're announcing that Solo's going to be there. They call, you know, that happens. So, and then they also get that ladder match at Halloween Havoc now, which is how the North American title was won by Adam Cole originally.
Cool. I think I was looking something up, and then it played a video. Paul Scheer.
Paul Scheer on Last Improv Show.
Yeah.
Was that your surprise guest?
Yeah. Surprise guest on Last Improv Show on Monday show. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was great. What were you saying?
No, man. I'm just excited. I think it's good times. I think.
When is the Saturday
this
show?
Ooh, good call.
I think it's November 5th. Did I make that up?
Is it? Yeah, I think so. Looking up. Look up Extreme Rules, too. I think Extreme Rules is like. Is it October like 3rd or something?
Yeah, November 5th is Crown Jewel.
When's Extreme Rules? So November 5th is Crown Jewel, and then they go right into Survivor Series in November 2. So
yeah. Extreme Rules. I'm looking at all the reasons. Yeah.
So where is that show
October
happening?
8th. So it's October 8th. So they're pretty far apart. They're just announcing the Saudi show pretty early.
October 8th is a Saturday. They're doing all Saturday pay-per-views. I love it.
Yeah, it should be dope. And now I'm back in the States, so I get Peacock. I'm pretty damn excited to have Peacock again. Yeah, bro.
I mean,
everything's just good. The only thing I keep thinking about is what the hell the plan is for Theory with this case. Because as much as people keep talking about the Roman Reigns like title situation, I keep reading all this shit in the sheets. Everything in the sheets is about how Reigns, like they're like, oh, they're trying to get the title off of Reigns, like one of them off of him, you know? They're trying to figure out how to do it. But you're like, Theory, I guess, he's not. I don't think maybe by Mania he'll be in a place to cash in, you know, like maybe he'll be in a good place. But like if they go Rock or they go Cody, you want Austin Theory to be cashing in on like the Rock or something? Like, I don't know. Could be cool though if like the Rock wins the titles and then Austin Theory cashes in on the Rock, you know?
Not the worst.
And then that's the Rock giving a rub to like a huge rub to a young star, you know? It's like huge, you know?
I love that booking.
That would be fucking crazy, but here's the real question. Cool with... We can end on this. This is the real question. Mm-hmm. This Rock match seems to be the plan, right? The Rock, I think he lives at SoFi now, all right? But
he's got a nice little one-bedroom duplex.
And he lives at the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
Do you want, I've asked it before, but do you, Rock Roman, do you want that at the expense of Cody? Like we get no, we don't get Cody Roman. Would you rather see Cody Roman or Rock Roman?
Well, I mean, I would love to see both. I would rather see Rock Roman. I think that's. More,
I'd rather see Rock Roman too. For a time, I said the opposite, but now I'm like, okay, I'd rather see Rock Roman. It's just crazy. That's just an insane big deal. That match is just crazy. You know,
I mean, the money way they could try and figure it out is if Roman was to lose the titles before Mania and then Rock Roman wasn't for the titles and like Seth became champion, you know, and Cody wins the Rumble. Like, I think if all that happens at before Royal Rumble or at Royal Rumble, I think that's where like the money zone is, because I think Seth Cody would be like, and you have that main event night one and then Rock Roman main event night two. And like, man,
are you saying, cause probably the move is to get those titles off Roman for Rock Roman, right?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Cause you don't need the titles on the line, but at the same time,
if Roman beats the Rock and you know, that's pretty massive.
I know, but at the same time, like, The Rock is one of these rare guys, you know, where like you want to kind of think that he might have a title run in him. You know what I mean?
Like 100% does.
Because you could believe it. Like, you could believe that he'll win that match. Right. Yeah. I mean, Cena's like 10 years younger. You know,
I want to know their ages right now.
The Rock's probably just turning 50. I
think so. I'm going to say 44.
The Rock's 50 years old.
Wow.
Born 1972. He's exactly 50. He turned 50. You know? So.
How old is John Cena?
Cena turned 40 last year. Oh, Cena's 45? Dude, that's crazy.
I saw something that if Cena doesn't have a match this year.
Yeah.
It will be the first time since he debuted that he won't have a match in a full year in wrestling.
Wow. John Cena is 45 years old and The Rock's 50. That doesn't even make sense. I thought that The Rock, Cena, I feel like 2 seconds ago, the Cena was talking about turning 40. That was already 5 years ago. Nuts. You know, Cena.
How's it getting old, man?
You know, Cena has a fucking ex-wife. Do you know that?
He has an ex-wife?
Yeah, Cena was married. Cena was married until.
And he broke off the engagement with Nikki Bella.
Yeah, but he was also married.
He just got married.
Yeah, he got married to someone named Shay Shariza-Day.
Shea Stadium?
He just married Shea Stadium. The actual stadium. He loves an inanimate object. Elizabeth, and also he loves a demolished stadium. Who is the Rock here? This is John Cena's wife. Who is she?
I don't know, man.
She was born in Iran. She's 33 years old. I'm like, who is John Cena? Isn't it weird?
33,
like,
huh? See, yeah. That's nice. I'm 37. I think that's good for me. Like, he hasn't, you know, he's 45. He's just getting, you know, he's married. I see myself doing that.
Look at this. John Cena's 45-year-old wife is just as accomplished WWE star as himself. Certainly what? Can't. That can't be true. I'm reading this. This is People.
What are you reading? People magazine?
Yeah.
You're reading The Inquirer?
Wait, according to marriage certificate obtained by People, the actor and pro wrestler married his girlfriend on October 12, 2020 at an attorney's office in Tampa, Florida. The couple have been linked romantically since March 19, 2019 when they met on the set of Cena's 2019 film Playing With Fire, which was filmed in Canada, where Shariza-Day originates. Nearly 2 years after tying the knot, the two hosted a second wedding celebration in Vancouver.
Love that.
The
couple's marriage is beautiful. She resides in Vancouver, was born in Iran. She's an engineer.
Vancouver.
She worked in Canada as a product manager. Before that, she worked at Motorola Solutions and researched thermal cameras and video intercom systems, according to her LinkedIn profile.
Where does her familiarity reside?
Familially is the word. I've always enjoyed math and physics.
Familiarly.
Listen, let me tell you, all I got to tell you about Cena's wife is nerd alert. She's always enjoyed math and physics. My brother studied engineering in school, and I remember one day he came home with a project, and it was an autonomous car, and that was it.
Did your mom used to read the National Enquirer?
No.
No.
Isn't it crazy we just like don't know? John Cena's just married to some woman and we don't know her at all.
Good. That's how it should be.
That is how it should be, right?
Yeah. You should just go to Vancouver and get married when you want to.
Yeah.
And if you want to get married in advance so she can hop on your benefits or you can hop on hers, but you're an actor and you probably don't get them.
Are you? Yeah, that's a good idea. Tulo, are you ready to play Name That Wrestler's Wife?
Yeah.
Are you ready to play one before we add here? Are you ready for one round of Name That Wrestler's Wife?
Yeah.
All right. Name a wrestler and I'll tell you about their wife. Wait, no. Let's play it like a game show. I'm gonna look up a wrestler's spouse. This isn't mine. I don't have to be wife. This could be spouse. I'm gonna read about a wrestler's spouse to you and you have to guess what wrestler it is. Okay?
Okay, cool. All right, I love this.
Okay. This first one's gonna be very easy, okay? All right. All right. I have to figure out how to get this information, though. So this is not going to be that smooth. All right. Okay. This wrestler's wife's name is Rebecca Quinn. They got married in January 2019. She's also a professional wrestler. They have a daughter named Rue, who was born on
the show. Who is Seth Rollins?
That's right. Seth Rollins. I was talking about Becky Lynch. Ding, 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 ding. My soundboard died, so I can't give you the credit that you deserve.
Can't even hit the moose.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. That's it. Now this is going to get significantly harder, okay?
Okay.
You just have to give me a moment, okay, to think of a wrestler who is married. All right. I just thought of a wrestler, and I'm going to look up if I can get info about their spouse. Okay. Dude, I need a Wikipedia page. This wrestler. Wikipedia seems to be not as prevalent as I like it. Okay. That's one of my boomerists. Okay.
Boomerist.
Oh, no. This wrestler's divorced. Damn it.
So read me the profile about the divorced wife, and maybe I can guess who it is still.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, let's see. Okay. While on tour with WWE in England, this wrestler met German model Denise Hartman. They were married on May 25th, 2001. And they had a daughter in December 2013. And he had to, during a time when he had to take off because he had a concussion. That's all I have. Her name is Denise Hartman. And she is a German
Libra
model. She's married to which wrestler do you believe is married to a German model?
2001? A long time.
I figured out a better way to do this, by the way.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this person still wrestling now?
Yes. But not in WWE anymore.
Ooh.
This. All info about this woman.
Chris Jericho?
No.
Ooh.
No. Good choice, though.
20 years ago. Sting.
Sting. No. Christian Cage. His wife is Denise Hartman, a German model that he met.
Good for Christian Cage.
Yes. Wow. Did you know where Chris Jericho was born?
Manitoba, Canada.
Manhasset.
Oh, yeah. He's
born at the
that.
Same hospital I was born at. Well, because his dad was on the Rangers, right?
Yeah. He went to Jericho, I think. Didn't he?
No, I don't think so. That's why he's called Jericho, because he went to Jericho High School. All right. Anyway, this wrestler, his name is Jess Lockhart. This wrestler's wife.
I said that without even thinking about it. I said Jericho without even really? Remembering his name is Chris Jericho.
Fucking maniac. All right, different wrestler.
Okay.
His wife's name is Jessica Lockhart. She was born on August 30th, 1974, in New York. They met in Tampa, Florida, through fellow wrestler Disco Inferno, who's a mutual friend.
Oh, no.
They married on July 30th, 2000. She has a quiet personality reserved from the spotlight, with the exception of the brief appearance on this wrestler's social media profiles. They have one boy named Ash and identical twin girls named Sierra and Cheyenne. The family of five currently reside in Tampa, Florida.
Are they currently wrestling?
Currently wrestlers.
And they're
in AEW, but now a champion.
Is it Chris Jericho?
Yeah, it's Chris Jericho. It is Chris Jericho. And obviously I didn't. Great job. You win nothing. Great job. You win the name that professional wrestler's spouse game.
Can you tell the mage man himself that he owes me a fucking pair of AJ Styles? Gloves?
I'll tell Dipperstein. I might actually see him tomorrow.
We should tell him. Let's go on their show, and he can. I can confront him about it. How about that?
Well, let's do it. He owes you a pair of AJ Styles gloves. All right, let's get out of here, bro. That was a good time. Okay. I was sick. Thank you guys for dealing with my sickness. Thank you, thank you for dealing with Nick Tulo's sickness.
Get down with the sickness.
Get down with the sickness, and let's figure out. Well, we'll text, but let's try to do that House of Dragon, House of the American Dragon episode.
I fucking love it.
All right, everybody, good shit. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling and have fun. Support this podcast. Get access to our Discord for a couple bucks a month. Get access to our bonus episodes when we put them out. And
we gotta drop something spicy too.
Oh yeah, let's do that next week.
Let's do that this week. Yeah, next week we'll drop that spicy.
We're going to drop something spicy next week. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Yeah, you can eat my ass, too.
Here's up. Eat Tulo's ass. Bye.